Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Night Terrors, a conversation with Travis Webb. As a child, Travis Webb experienced night terrors. The night terrors did not just end at his bed, though. The terrors would evolve into scratches, bruises, and unexplained physical evidence of abuse, although no living person ever physically touched Travis. How did he understand and explain this to his friends and family? And did he ever find a way to make this connection to the dark side of the paranormal cease? This is his story today on The Grave Talks.
Honestly, it would have to be, I'm 34 now. It would have been when I was around 8 or 9 years old, when my parents had just got a divorce. I started developing night terrors. They did sleep studies on me. You know, they basically said, yes, you have night terrors. And what ended up happening is between 8 and 9 to about 11 to 12 years old, they would be so severe that not only would I wake up and still think I was in said nightmare, but I would see things. And the doctors would all tell me, you know, oh, it's at your brain, you know, trying to comprehend what you're dreaming, you know, you're not coming. Basically, your subconscious isn't lining up with your consciousness fast enough when you wake up, is what the doctors would tell me. Well, then it started to get a little further as I became a teenager and started entering, you know, the dating world and seeing different girls and stuff like that, as you do as a teenager. I would be at their house and I would see things at their house that I also saw at my house, but I wasn't asleep. So it turned into this fascination. I dated a girl that was into the goth style of clothing and mentality. You know, as kids, you don't know what you're doing. We would mess with Ouija boards, stuff like that. And things kind of cascaded into when I became old enough, working full time and was able to afford it. I invested in some equipment, and then I've been doing it now almost 14 years. I've been investigating. So that's basically how it started, was just from the night terrors and seeing. I mean, these things were like monsters to me as a kid, obviously. But that's kind of what led me down that path.
So let's go back to that. Let's examine that a little bit further. Let's talk about the night terrors themselves. And I wanted to dive into the things you were seeing at other people's houses that they weren't seeing, but you were seeing at your house. But before we get even to there, tell me about the night terrors. Like, what was a night terror for you? How do you define it? What was going on in your mind? What were you seeing? What were you experiencing?
Okay. What led me going to the hospital and having the sleep study done and all that stuff is these night terrors would get so bad. You know, I like, for instance, I'll give you one. Most of them are very personal for me, and I don't really talk about them, but I'll give you one of them. This specific monster that I have a name for that I've seen periodically throughout my entire life since then, it had its hands wrapped around my throat and was strangling me. Well, in real life, I stopped breathing. So they had the study done or whatever, and they found out that the type of night terrors I have, and I don't remember the medical term for it, but basically my body reacts to my nightmares so severely that I can stop breathing, I can wake up with bruises, scratches, and they're not self-inflicted. Some people that I grew up with were Catholic, and of course they thought I was possessed, you know, that kind of stuff, which I assure you I wasn't possessed. But they were very severe. They affected real life almost on a daily basis as a kid.
Mm-hmm. So you would have these experiences and you would have these dreams of these things. Mm-hmm. And you're saying you would wake up with literally physical remnants. Yep. of what happened in the dream.
Yep. Yes. I have a couple of members of my team, good friends of mine. They've actually witnessed it in person. They've seen it happen. We've had cameras rolling with us sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have documentation of bruises, scratches, and I never touched myself. I never hit anything. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen so often now as an adult. It was much, much more often as a kid. But it does high stress, you know, really high stress level things that happen in adult life.
Mm-hmm.
They do tend to spur it on. It seems the more stressed out I am, the more it happens.
So just let me ask you, I mean, how do they medically explain bruises, scratches, and things like that appearing on your body without you,
they didn't,
you know, doing it to yourself?
Yep, they didn't. They didn't. They had no medical explanation. The doctor that I had as a kid was used to be a general in the Navy, so he was a very hard-nosed guy. You know, everything was scientific. When they did the first sleep study on me, I got a couple of scratches on my forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came back in the room to wake me up, because back then this would have been in the early 90s, mid 90s.
Yeah.
Back then, they only sleep studied you for about an hour to 2 hours. They didn't do an entire night. So when he came in to wake me up, he saw the scratches. And, of course, they take pictures of you before and after, all that. And it freaked him out. Like, it genuinely freaked him out. He had no explanation for it. I mean, it's documented that it happened,
yeah,
but there's just no explanation for it.
So, I mean, as you know, I would imagine, you know, you have parents that are bringing you in for the sleep study because, yep, they care enough about you to do that. It's not just you, mm-hmm, at, you know, eight going, let's go do a sleep study because this would be a good idea. So you have parents who care about you that are taking you in for this. What is their reaction to this, where you have these bruises, these scratches, and the doctor can't explain it?
My dad was a God-fearing man, so he put it on the, you know, it's not real. If we ignore it, it'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
My mother is the opposite. My mother is actually a part of our team. She actually ghost hunts with us. Back then she was worried, nervous, scared, you know, all the things a normal mother, I guess, in that situation would be.
Sure.
They mainly just kept an eye on me. You know, if I woke up screaming, you know, obviously, you know, kids have nightmares, so parents are used to checking on their kids, especially if they wake up screaming. But mine was, I mean, I think I ran my parents ragged as a kid because it was almost every night.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they definitely cared and they paid attention and they believed me because they witnessed it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my dad ignored it, but they believed me. And that to me, I think, mattered a lot. That helped me a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, if your parents don't believe you, then you think you're crazy, you know?
I mean, these things are clearly happening. And I mean, as a parent,
yeah,
myself, you know, you look at your kid and if that thing that's going on night after night, the first thing you want to do is find a way to make it stop.
Yep.
How did, I mean,
oh, yeah,
your mom was assuming.
My dad took me to church.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. My dad took me to church. You know, it was an apostolic Pentecostal church,
mm-hmm,
just, you know, kind of like a down home Christian church.
Yeah.
You know, I was baptized, all that kind of stuff, you know, in my dad's eyes, that fixed everything. It didn't.
Yeah.
But that's how my dad tried to help. My mom mainly was nurturing, understanding. If I had a bad night, you know, she kind of helped me through it, you know, that kind of thing. They did what they could.
Yeah.
You know?
And it just kept happening over. So I mean, has this ever ceased for you?
It has slowed down as an adult.
Okay.
It has slowed down substantially. Like I said, stress is a trigger, and I don't mean stress like work or anything. I mean like stress. You know, you have a death in the family, you know, you can't make your bills. You know, the stress that all of us adults have. The real high stuff, mm-hmm, I'll have one. But it's like one every couple months, maybe. You know, I've had friends, you know, I've had women around, you know, we're sleeping, and, you know, they hear me cursing and yelling and flailing around, you know. So, I mean, people have witnessed it before,
yeah,
but it's not often.
Do you put that on your match profile? Like, beware, I may get bruises and scratches at night. three things you don't know about me.
I have thought about it, honestly. I mean, I've never scared anybody away, though. I've been lucky.
Yeah.
You know, none of the people that have been around me have been scared. I mean, they've been freaked out, and they've asked a lot of questions. But I've never had anybody, you know, avoid me because of it.
Sure.
So I've been lucky in that sense.
Well, I mean, it's very fascinating. I mean, just the fact that those sort of things happen. I mean, when let's continue to dive into this area. And there's, like I said, there's many other areas I want to talk about. But the fact that you are so, you know, attuned to this and have such firsthand experience, it's very interesting to dive into this with someone who has those moments. So, I mean, what do you, as you look back on this, let's first take a step back and talk about what did you view it as a child, not what you view it as today or how you attribute these things, but as a child, when these things were going on, your dad's essentially, for lack of a better term, and I'm not trying to be crude, but, you know, pray it away. And your mom is more, you know, scientific based, you know, nurturing and just trying to be there for you. How were you processing all of that as a child?
Honestly, I can't tell you verbatim how I was feeling because that was a very long time ago, obviously. But I do remember that the way that it would be explained to me, the way that, you know, like my mom would look at it and stuff, is it was almost like I had an imaginary friend.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of that same bracket because, like I said, I would wake up and I would see certain things that were also in my dream.
Mm-hmm.
And it... For about anywhere between 20 to 30 minutes after I'd wake up, I would see things, I would hear things, I would feel things.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.